Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Can you recall when you first heard about COVID? You know, nobody really knew very much about any of this and how terrifying it was a year ago as you were trying to impart information to us all.
Yeah, Dean, you know, the knowledge that we've gained in the year has been just unbelievable. Anybody in the medical field just feels like, wow, this has been, I mean, I don't like to use warp speed, but this has been warp speed. And you think about it, a year ago, you know, right now, it was declared a pandemic, and yet we knew very little about this virus, how it spread, how awful it was going to be, and the impact it was going to make on this country.
Would you say that we are about where you thought we would be a year into this? Or, I mean, when I've talked to medical people about this, everyone, you know, when you ask questions, people go, we just don't know about this. We're just learning about this. We're just, you know, there's just such a big question mark, and it's no affront to any of them. We are really still just learning about this, aren't we?
We are, but I think we should be very proud of where we got. You know, a year ago, we weren't even thinking about a vaccine at that point. And then even in the summer, we're the uncertainty of would we have a vaccine that's going to be readily available. And now when you look at where we're at from the vaccine point of view, fast forward to today, that's unbelievable. And when we look back and we say, oh, my gosh, if you guys remember, we were talking about we're not going to have enough ventilators for people. And
Right. We've
learned so much that we're not putting a lot of people on ventilators. We've learned so much about medications and how we're going to treat these individuals. So kudos to the medical researchers, the medical team, the pharmaceutical companies for the speed that they got to where we're at. And I just hope everyone gets the vaccine when they're able to.
And now we're sort of in this spider web of how do I get a vaccine? I mean, that's what I hear most often, not only from friends and family, but what I hear from viewers and listeners trying to get a vaccine. I'm on the computer all the time. I'm trying to get an appointment someplace and I can't. Is that beginning to straighten out at all?
Yeah, definitely. You know, Johnson & Johnson certainly helped quite a bit. I can just tell you, just for our allocation in DuPage County, we're prepared to give about 55,000 to 60,000 shots a week. Our allocation for the last 3 weeks has been around 3,000, 5,000. This week, we're actually going to get 15,000. So that's kind of nice. And I would tell people, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, I don't want to get the Johnson & Johnson. And,
yeah.
And I will tell you that if today was the day that I had a choice between any one of those three vaccines, I would be the first in line for Johnson & Johnson.
So you think it's just as effective? I mean, people are going for Pfizer and Moderna because of the higher efficiency rate that has been announced. But you think that the Johnson & Johnson is just as good?
Yeah, I think it's just as good. And people have to understand the Moderna and Pfizer were tested before the variants came out. Johnson & Johnson was tested in South Africa against these variants. Now, we're finding out that Pfizer works very well against the South African variant. We're still waiting on the Moderna data, but we know that the Johnson & Johnson certainly does. Also, it's a single shot, so the side effect profile is a lot better. And the logistics of making sure that you're getting that second Moderna shot or that second Pfizer shot at the right time. So I would tell everyone, do not be, whatever vaccine you're available to get it. You have to remember, when we started, the FDA was going to be happy if it was 50% or better effective,
right?
And even influenza, we're happy when it's 30, 40, 50%. So, you know, I just hope people get needles in the arms when they can.
I remember one of the first things that we talked about in our many discussions about this was, would we see a lower influenza rate because people were social distancing and wearing masks for the most part? That's going to be my next question. Second, I'm going to get on my Uncle Dean's soapbox about that after what I saw last night. But have we actually seen fewer people with influenza this year because they're taking precautions against COVID?
Unbelievable low numbers of influenza. I mean, when you look at the influenza numbers, if you go to the CDC data, you know, a couple thousand cases. Normally by this time, we would have had millions of cases. So it is unbelievable what the masking, the distancing, and everything that we've done. And we had a big push to get people in, vaccinated for influenza this fall as well. So it certainly has worked. You know, a normal influenza season for us, we'll see, you know, in the United States, anywhere from 28 to 40,000 deaths. I think we're under 50.
Five years.
I mean, it's quite an impact.
5 years from now, when the all clear, hopefully, is set and this is in our rearview mirror, can I still wear a mask? Should I still wear a mask when I go to a grocery store or to an airport?
I prefer if you wore a hood.
Well, that's usually when I'm in the South, but that's a whole other story.
Wait a minute. Hold it. What?
No, but I mean, my point is, should masks, I mean, I know there's all this ridiculous political fighting about it, but I think I'm going to wear a mask for many years to come.
I see myself doing that too.
Yeah, I think when I go to an airport, I'm going to just wear a mask.
Yeah.
I mean, should I do that to save myself from flu, like you're saying, in the future?
Absolutely. I think when you look at this, it might get back to the norm for quite a few people. We're all waiting for the days we don't need to wear a mask. But I think in certain situations, masks are going to be exactly what people are going to do, whether it's going into an environment where they don't know what is protected. They go to airports. You know, once we get this infectious disease kind of mentality, we have to understand that there is another COVID coming. We just don't know when it is or what it'll be.
So we'll get to questions in a second for Dr. Kevin Most, 312-981-7200 to call in or text 312-981-7200. All right. So let me get on my soapbox. Last night, Kevin, I go to a friend's house in the Old Town neighborhood. Well Street, well-known nightlife area, was packed with people in bars, outside of bars. And I would say at least half of them were either not wearing masks or were apparently protecting their chins because that's where their masks were, or their necks, you know, the dreaded neck virus that apparently some people think is going on because that's where they were wearing their masks. You know, I turn on the news and I see all these people in Florida at spring break, no masks. Are we going to, now that the weather's getting nicer again, are they safe because they're outside, or are we likely to see another spike again because people want to get things back to normal? I would, in my own opinion, before it's safe to do that.
100%. You know, with the British variant being getting to be more and more popular here, we have those concerns. When you look at the spring, it's the spring break and St. Patrick's Day is the concerns that we have, obviously. But when you look at states that have gone to more of an open, you know, Florida, whose positivity rate last week was around 12%, Texas at about 15%. Look at the crowds at Padre Island right now. So definitely we have a concern. Now, that being said, people are going to say, yeah, but Kevin, you know, in Illinois, our positivity rate's under 2%. So even if I'm with 100 people, only 2% of us are going to have it. You know, people are going to start to make that argument, and that'll be one of the concerns we have as we try to, boy, just wait another month, and I'm telling you, everyone's going to be able to get a vaccine.
630 area code says, I believe COVID is just a flu virus. What's your reaction to that?
Tell the 500,000 families who lost a family member from this that it's that's what they think. Tell anybody in the medical field, come in and sit in our ICU and look at the patients here that we've had and the impact that this disease has had. I think it is so unfortunate that people are saying this is just like a flu. We've never had a flu season where we lost a half a million patients.
Right.
We've never had a flu season where the health systems have been stressed to a point where many hospitals will go bankrupt. This is a concern that people that I have with people. I'm not going to get vaccinated because I think this was just a bad flu.
And, you know, let me just add on to that. I mean, that's the perfect answer. But the COVID-19 that I had was relatively mild compared to the nightmare and the sad, horrible loss that many people experienced. I'm here to tell you, it's not the flu. And mine was mild. Mine was mild. I've never experienced anything like I did when I tested positive for COVID-19. So, you know, people are saying it's the flu. You know, you're 100% wrong.
And should we be talking still about possibly opening up to have, like, Taste of Chicago? Isn't this too early to do this still?
Yeah,
well,
I think it is.
It might be. And going back to the initial point there, people don't understand that, you know, when you get influenza, you get over influenza. You know, people have had the flu that survive and don't end up in the hospital or die from it. They get over influenza and they're back to their normal lives. People don't understand the millions of people that are now still having cognitive problems, have pulmonary problems, are having taste and smell problems, even though they survived this illness. So you have the 500,000 who have died, but also look at all the other what we call long haulers. And Swanee, to your point, is it too early to start planning openings? I'll tell you, it's all going to depend on that vaccination rate. Are we going to get to 60-70%, you know, by May or June? People are like, how can we do that? We're only at 10% right now. I could tell you that once the vaccine is made available, we have the capacity to, even like I said, in DuPage County, we can do five times the number. We're ready to put in five times the number of vaccines in everyone's arms for every week. We could do 500,000 people in 2 months just in DuPage County.
That's what exasperates me about these people who are out without their masks and acting like everything is okay right now. That's what's going to cause another spike.
Exactly.
That kind of behavior. I mean, all we need to do is be vigilant for a little while longer. You know, we've done it for a year. Can you do it for another month, a couple of months, 3 months, 4 months, whatever it is, so we make sure that we don't have these resurgences again? Do you need your green beer that much, really, that you got to do that? And, Kevin, we've talked about this before. Here's the other thing. You know, a lot of these people who are out in the streets last night, and it wasn't just Wall Street, it was all over, you know, they're a little intoxicated. Your judgment is not going to be quite as good when you've been drinking all night.
100%. And, you know, when you get in a crowded atmosphere, two things happen. One, you're much closer to people. And two, because of music, noise, and the proximity of people, they're talking louder. They're getting close to yelling. They're screaming. They're singing,
projecting,
whatever it is.
Yeah.
This is not a normal conversation with two people, you know, 3, 4, 5 feet apart.
Yeah, and projecting when they're yelling. This is Steve on with Dr. Kevin Most. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Thank you, and good morning. You guys do a great job. Doctor, my wife has a neurological condition called RSD. I've received both shots of my vaccine. A, is it all right to travel since she hasn't had it and come back? And then she's leery about getting the vaccine. Her doctor said maybe the Johnson & Johnson.
Okay, I'm gonna put you on hold so you can listen there, Steve, because we're getting a lot of wind sound. But Kevin, what's your thoughts about that?
Yeah, so for the travel portion of it, and let's make sure we understand, Steve has gotten both vaccines, his wife has not. Steve could still carry the virus. That's what we're trying to figure out, is how many people who have been vaccinated could still carry and potentially pass that on. The initial studies are looking like, boy, you get really good protection, and you may not even need to worry about that. As far as travel, I travel quite a bit. My travel has all been flights less than 2 hours. I certainly wouldn't fly to California. I guess I would fly to Hawaii, you know, where their positivity rate is 1%. But I would still be hesitant and be careful if you are going to fly, to make sure you're masked, to make sure you distance as much as you can. Turn on the vents above you so that air circulates. But it has been shown that the airplane travel itself is very safe. Airplanes are very safe. It's more of the impact of the terminals where you're going to be. So I would say make sure your wife gets vaccinated as soon as she can. But travel, be cautious, be safe, but know that the airplane is safe.
This is Teresa. You're on with Dr. Kevin Most on WGN.
Hi, this is Teresa, and my husband is an Evans Scholar, so he says, hey, Kevin.
Awesome.
I am calling regarding...
you smart people with your secret codes.
my son is nearly 16, and he has a history of asthma, although that he's not actively being treated for asthma right now. But he also has abdominal migraines, cyclic vomiting syndrome, and he has a peanut allergy. So when he's 16, I'm going to talk to his doctor about this, but I'm wondering if he should get the vaccine.
Yeah, it really depends. You know, peanut allergies have a wide spectrum. You know, some are anaphylactic, you know, where, boy, if I'm even close to, you know, any kind of peanut oil, peanut protein, I'm going to get hives. I'm going to stop breathing. I need an EpiPen. And then there's others that have more mild symptoms. Depending on where he falls on that spectrum would be the decision I think that your doctor would make. But as far as his asthma and his abdominal migraines, he certainly is at higher risk. So he certainly would have comorbidities that would put him there. A lot of studies being done right now on pediatrics. And I would say talk to your doctor, but he certainly sounds like, as long as it's not an anaphylactic peanut allergy, that I would. And tell your husband congratulations. It's always nice to hear from another Evan scholar. So,
okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Teresa. Sure. Thank you for the call. 847, area code, and several other people actually on our text line. Saying that they have had both of their shots. Can they see their grandkids? Is it now safe for the grandkids to come and see them or vice versa?
Correct. You know, now the CDC came out with that recommendation. And certainly anybody who has been vaccinated with both doses and is 7 to 14 days past that second dose can now go and see their grandchild. Remember, this vaccine is protecting you from getting any severe illness or getting hospitalized, and those numbers are very good. The chance of you spreading it to a youngster is very low, and we know that kids actually do fairly well with this illness. So CDC has said, yes, you can. And I tell people, hey, you know, use common courtesy and use common thoughts, because the parents may be a little bit concerned as well. So it's always going to be nice for grandparents to see their grandkids because they haven't in a while. But be careful. Wash your hands. Minimize your contact space. But at least now we have the word from the CDC that it is acceptable.
And still keep your masks on, right? Right. Still social distance. But, I mean, you can be in the, you know, the same area. You can give a hug, something like that, right?
Correct. Yeah. You know, we're talking about people who, if you have four people that are going to go to dinner or going to have dinner in your home and they've all been fully vaccinated, you don't need masks. But once you're really out in the public and you're still exposing yourself to individuals who have not been vaccinated, do the courteous thing. Wear the mask, because people are going to be looking at you like, why aren't you wearing a mask?
Right.
And just, you should be proud and feel very optimistic that you are protected right now.
Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. I can't believe it's been a year that, you know, we're doing this. I wish we didn't have to deal with this subject. I wish I could just have you on every week and, you know, talk about golf with you, even though I know nothing about golf. Would be a fairly one-sided conversation, but I wish we could talk about most anything else. But
how about the Grammys?
I can't tell you how much I appreciate you joining us every week, Kevin, and all of the great information that you share with our listeners every week. Really, really, really appreciate it.
Well, thanks. And when we slow down a little bit, I'll explain the Evan Scholarship to you. You'll be very.
I think I may be too dumb to understand that.
No, it's probably the best scholarship in the world.
All
so,
right.
But we'll talk.
All right, Dr. Kevin Most. Always good to talk to you. Thank you. WGN.